The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, Minister for Justice Jim O'Callaghan has said the Gardaí were making good progress to identify the people involved in a fight that led to the fatal stabbing of a man in Dublin at the weekend. The man, who's aged in his 30s, has been named locally as Guam Babatunde. He was found unresponsive with serious injuries by Gardaí after the emergency services were called to South Ann Street in Dublin. The stabbing has resulted in concerns over the safety in the capital city, with calls once again for an increased Garda presence. I'm joined now by Catherine Arda, Fianna Fáil TD for Dublin South Central, and by Richard Guiney, the CEO of Dublin Town. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
Catherine, first of all, your reaction?
First of all, it was a really bad week for us when it comes to stabbings in our city. I think a lot of us looked on absolutely horrified. Our streets are something, coming up to the general election, I would have heard people saying they felt unsafe in our city. And unfortunately, the two acts that we saw in recent weeks really sort of compounded that. And we have a lot of work to do in terms of, you know, getting our city safe for people coming in and also for businesses who are working in the city, people trying to make a living, who own the businesses, and especially have a lot of sympathy for those going to work every day. But I love my city, okay? And I know we have a lot of work to do in our city. And I don't want people not to come to our city. I just think we need to ensure that we have adequate policing on our streets. And I'd like to see minimum mandatory sentencing for crimes, serious crimes like knife crimes. And I know Jim O'Callaghan is only a month in the job, and he has, you know, he's massively, hugely committed to ensuring that we see the progress when it comes to the Gardaí visible on our streets. And I'm very confident that
now, you know,
see that
within the legal profession, whether they are judges or barristers or solicitors, they tend to resist the idea of mandatory sentencing. They like judges to have discretion. So if I don't know where Jim O'Callaghan stands on the whole thing of mandatory sentences, but
mandatory sentencing isn't a new thing. Like, we have mandatory sentencing when it comes to drug crimes. I think the situation in our city has become so serious that I think it's right, Pat, if you think it's okay to carry a knife in our city, I think it's right for you to have 2 years of a custodial sentence for carrying a knife.
Now, obviously, there are some people who might carry a knife for their profession. A chef might carry a set of knives rather than leave them where they might be pilfered, you know, in
but
a restaurant.
Part of the proofs when you're going down the minimum mandatory sentencing is like carrying a knife, and like the prosecution would establish a purpose that you're carrying it with intent to cause harm to an individual. We saw at the weekend that a man was murdered on our main thoroughfare. It's absolutely shocking.
The circumstances obviously are not 100% clear at the moment, but it does appear that Mr. Babatunde was not involved in any of the prequel to all of this, where a fight broke out between different gangs. He was then stabbed. Whether this was racially motivated, we have yet to ascertain. And then they returned to him again and they stabbed him in the chest, or one individual stabbed him in the chest. And when the man is lying on the ground, they kick him. I mean, this is behaviour that is utterly abhorrent and deserves the highest sanction.
Absolutely, I agree with you. It's absolutely disgusting.
Richard, you know, you represent businesses in Dublin Town trying to get people to come in to do their shopping, to recreate and so on. This, it's one incident, but it is such a telling incident that people are going to say, why should I go there? Why don't I go to a suburban shopping mall where I'll be safe?
Look, it's obviously very shocking, and, you know, all the sentiments that have been expressed I absolutely concur with. I suppose we've had issues around perceptions of safety in the city and people not feeling safe for quite some time. We did make progress between 2012 and 2016 where things, you know, where perceptions were improving and feedback was improving, but it's gone in reverse. And I think at this point, the business community just wants solutions. The Taoiseach's task force report is a very good report. I was on the task force myself. I think the underlying reasons are all detailed in there, and the solutions, and I think we need to get on with it now. We know what the solutions are, and I think it's time to roll up our sleeves and get on with it.
Well,
and
in summary, what are the key solutions?
Well, I think there's quite a few. Obviously, we need to be more progressive in terms of how we deal with our vulnerable populations. I think there's a huge over-concentration of emergency services within Dublin city centre. We do need the additional Gardaí. We accept is going to take time to recruit those. I think we can look at the community safety warden programme for having a uniform presence, increasing a uniform presence on the street and providing some civic reassurance. There's issues around lighting. There's issues around what's called SEPTED, which is crime prevention through environmental design. I think how we design the city could be improved. We need to look at dereliction. We need to look at there is a transition, you know, for example, office, there's a change in office use, etc. So we will have vacant properties. They can be a drag on the city. I think we need to look at meanwhile use where they're brought into a temporary use. Same when we've got a large development space that's going through planning processes, etc. Utilising those spaces, you know, having light and activity on the street. All of these things, you know.
But you said at the beginning, all of these things will take time. But if I want to go into, or you want me to go into shop in Dublin City Centre next week, what should happen right now?
They will take time, but I think, you know, there's no time like present for actually resolving some of those issues. I think, look, in terms of the civic reassurance, you know, that's obviously a very important piece. You know, after the riots, we did have an increased Garda presence in the city centre, and that did reassure people. And we actually had quite a good Christmas in December of 2023. I think we can look at, again, at, you know, just how we have implemented things in the past. And, you know, yes, some of them are going to take longer, but then there's others that will take less time. And I think, you know, some of the on-street activations can certainly help. I think we do need to look at, you know, the whole integrated nature of the city. And I think that can't be delayed. But I think, you know, in terms of
the integrated nature.
Well, I think, you know, look, as I say, in terms of the vulnerable populations, I don't think we're managing that as well as we should. I think we still have.
What are you talking about? People sleeping in doorways who are then vulnerable to attack by the OBS.
No, I think it's you know, we have a very high concentration of services within the city, and particularly emergency accommodation. There's still efforts to convert buildings without planning permission into more emergency accommodation. That does, but you've got such high levels of vulnerable populations, and there are streets and districts in the city centre where we have over 2,000.
Where do you put those people then? If you don't want a concentration in Dublin city centre, and part of the reason people hang out in Dublin city, even if they were housed somewhere beyond, they come into Dublin city, often it's for begging purposes, they go where the people are.
Yeah, but when you've got such a high level of concentration, Pat, you've got people within the city who, you know, the streets are their backyard effectively. I think we need to be more imaginative in terms of the state lands that we have, in terms of utilising those. We've got, you know, people are coming from all around the country, and Dublin City Council has the responsibility to house them in the city. And look, if this was working for vulnerable people, we'd say fair enough, but it's not. And, you know, certainly speaking to people who are engaged in supporting people with drug addictions or homelessness, the feedback we have is that actually what we're doing is not beneficial for the vulnerable people nor wider society.
I'm struggling to get a handle on what the alternative is.
Well, I think we can look at, you know, state lands and you know, developing those. I know there's been proposals around the likes of Thornton Hall, etc. And I think we need to be a bit more imaginative. We can't just take every location in Dublin city centre and put all of the country's problems into one small location and expect that, you know, everything's going to work out, because that is not the way the world works. But I think there's definitely a whole of society requirement in this, and the business community, I think, can be part of the solution to resolving the issues as well.
What do you make of all of this?
I have to say, I agree with you, Pat. It doesn't matter where people are living; they all want to come into the city every night, okay, or during the day. There's a lot of work as well in the city. It's not just people coming in to beg. There's a lot of cash jobs available for people, whether it be on sites in the city or, you know, in kitchens. So
these are people who might be homeless.
Yeah, people who are homeless, people who are living in IPAS accommodation. People are coming to Ireland because there is a lot of an economy there where people can work for cash jobs in the city, and that's where, as you say, the money is. Whether it's begging, so it doesn't matter. I believe where people are living in the outskirts of Dublin, that people will want to come into the city every day, And the short-term solution for you, Pat, if you want to have a drink or want to have a meal in town and for you to feel safe, is to have more guards on the street. And I believe Jim O'Callaghan is doing that. I know that it's his priority. He stated that. He stated it's not his priority to open up as many emergency accommodation buildings as possible.
Do you think that the nature of our policing, I know they've got their baseball caps now and they look a little bit more like they might be able to pursue someone down the road compared to when they were wearing a serge overcoat and a cap and boots, as it were. Now they look as if hot pursuit was needed. But then you've got scooters hopping around the place. I mean, is it time to ban the scooters from the centre of the city? Because the ne'er-do-wells can hop on a scooter, an electric scooter, and be gone.
Absolutely. We have to look at more serious legislation when it comes to scooters. I see it in my own area around, Crumlin, Walkinstown, especially young kids seem to have these really state-of-the-art scooters and they are driving around. Some say they are delivering drugs for people. Some say they're just young lads on scooters. But, there seems to be an issue. And it's also really dangerous because you don't see, if you're a driver on the road, you don't see a scooter coming to you. So I don't know if scooters are the big issue here.
It's going to be, as Richard was even pointing out, there's a whole plethora of solutions. Yeah. Some of them are more long term than others. But there are things you can do in the short term. And it's not that scooters are going to change the world, banning scooters, high-speed scooters in town. And we have ridiculous rules where it's impossible to identify the person who's effectively on a motorbike.
Yeah.
You can't identify them.
And I also think Richard's right in terms of the long term, like sort of the streetscaping of our city to ensure that that's, laid out properly. That's really, really important because when you have a really nice streetscape, people are less likely to, they don't have places to hide and they treat their, their city with a little bit more respect and you get more people coming in. So there's a lot of long-term solutions. But I think ultimately, I think what Richard is even saying is we need to see a lot of urgency with this task force. Like we need to ensure that it's implemented.
We talk about all the time is having people on the street and people living in the centre of the city, which tends to make the city safer because there are eyes everywhere. And that might not be the case currently because very few people, relatively speaking, live in the centre of the city. But I saw something in one of the papers over the weekend suggesting that the building regulations are not fit for purpose. You've got a lot of stuff over the shop and other stuff that's available that in semi-dereliction. And in order to qualify for the building regulations, it's just too expensive and in many cases not doable. And the suggestion from this head of the architects was that you've got to have a set of building regulations for new builds, A-rated and all the rest, and another set of regulations for refurbing, which would be achievable because at the moment many of the refurbs are simply not possible.
That's very true. Yeah. I mean, that is the feedback and certainly people who've engaged in conversions over the shop have told us that they wouldn't be inclined to do it again. So we do need to resolve some of those issues and they're quite resolvable. It's done on the continent, integrated smoke and sprinkler systems and that kind of thing. And there is derelict space. And again, this is in the task force report about, converting some of that into residential use. It definitely would assist if we had more residents living in the city. There are going to be challenges on that, but we can have the discussion at a later point. But there's definitely opportunities for having more people living in the city and particularly living over the shop. I've been in premises where you've got two or three floors that have never seen a footstep. And it's such a waste. You've got floor spaces of 1,000 square feet.
So two things, make it doable and also it helps resolve the housing crisis. Yep. Some of the comments coming in from Kieran. Sadly, it's deja vu with your discussion around the weekend Dublin 2 killing. Are there lessons to be learned? Streets need more Gardaí, stiffer sentences, etc., etc. We heard all the same sound bites, but before particularly and after the Dublin riots. I worked in Dublin City Centre for nearly 40 years, always careful, but never afraid. Nowadays, I am afraid. So stop the meaningless waffle and make our streets safe again. That's from Kieran. This kind of behaviour has been going on for ages. It's not getting better and will only get worse. Every time something happens, the politicians say how terrible it is. The Gardaí say the same thing. Unfortunately, nothing ever changes. Cheap talk after serious incidents. Then nothing said when things blow over. That's from Simon in Kildare. I avoid Dublin like the plague. Will only go there for essential work or medical appointment reasons. Would never go on a night out in Dublin. Our government policies over time have led to this. They are mostly responsible, says Dave in Galway. We need visible armed forces on the streets with a response time of less than 3 minutes, in line with European capital cities. We need to fight fire with fire. The quick fix here is take the bad guys off the streets, then you can fix the other root causes. I'm tired of reading and hearing about repeat offenders roaming the streets, committing even more crimes. Protect the innocent and vulnerable and the tourists. More debate about Dublin. Lots of Gardaí in the city for concerts and matches, but not on a daily basis. Let ministers walk the keys up to the matter and see the dangers the rest of us have to face. Dublin City in decline since lockdown. We feel safer in other European cities. Why? It's so threatening here. Workers and shoppers have a right to feel safe in our city. Time for zero tolerance. Nothing done since the November riots. That's from Maria Rahini. A number of points there.
Yep.
Yeah.
People on bail, multiple offenders, and when they finally get a sentence, it's revealed after the court case that they are recidivists.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they're out on the street in jig time.
Yeah, and I know we have an issue in terms of spaces in prisons, and I think we really need to look at Thornfield Hall, isn't it?
Thornton Hall, which is now housing tents for asylum seekers.
Yeah, well,
it's open field still.
It's open field, so we need to look at increasing our capacity in prisons, because we see far too often hear people committing a offence while they're out on bail, and when they should be, they shouldn't be out in the first place. Listen, Jim O'Callaghan is 1 month in the job. We haven't had a Fianna Fáil justice minister for 14 years. And I agree, in that time, we haven't seen, our city improve from a criminality point of view. I really think that Jim, with his experience and with his determination, he has been their justice spokesperson in our party.
We'll see. Time will tell. Time will tell, because you can talk the talk, but Jim needs to walk the walk. Richard?
The one point I would make, Pat, and you're talking about the urgency, we did improve perceptions of safety, and quite significantly between 2012 and 2016, after the publication of the Better City for All report. Then we had personnel changes in the relevant authorities, etc., and things disimproved. But I do think we can go back and look at some of the things that did work at that time and make them more systemic and to have them more institutionalised, so that we don't slip back again. And I'm a firm believer that where we put our heads together in this country, we can be very effective. Mm. And it's time now to roll out the solutions that we know
will leave
we
it there. Richard Guiney, the CEO of Dublin Town, and Catherine Arda, Fianna Fáil TD for Dublin South Central. Thank you both very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.